720 WGN. Boy, that song makes me think of taking a nice road trip, rolling the windows down, driving through. And I think Roger just said 75 degrees at O'Hare. What an incredible day. Hey, it's John Hanson filling in for Rick Hogan till 7 o'clock. Thank you so much for spending some of your Easter Sunday or your normal Sunday, whatever it is, with us here on WGN. All right, a stolen car returned 87 years later. It's a really cool story. Joining us now is Michelle Quinn. She wrote an article for Post Tribune. You can see it at ChicagoTribune.com about the car that John Dillinger stole back to Crown Point. Michelle, thanks for joining us here. Thanks for joining us on this Easter Sunday.
Hey there, how's it going?
Really good. I did a deep dive after reading your article into John Dillinger. I think it's a name a lot of us know, of course. We know it in Chicago pretty well. I had no idea that there was still a car missing from this incredible escape and beyond. But let's start where you start, and that's the car came back, and there was this big ceremony yesterday, right?
It was absolutely crazy. You never expect that, you have so many, whether it was history buffs or whether it was just people wanting to get out, celebrate the weather and stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, it was amazing. There was also the element, there was a Discovery Channel show that was also filming. So there may have been a little bit of that because Josh Gates, the host of the show, was in the car as well.
That's cool.
So, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on.
So let's rewind it a little bit because John Dillinger, I've been to Crown Point many times for the TV show I work on, The Jam. It's the coolest little square ever. It's beautiful. It's retro. It's awesome. It's a little, if you've never been to Crown Point, Indiana, take the drive and make sure you go see it on a nice day. It is really pretty. And I remember hearing a little bit like, this is where Dillinger was. And I think they shot part of Road to Perdition here or something like that. Can you give us a little bit? I know that you don't have to dive too deep, but what is John Dillinger's connection to Crown Point?
Well, John Dillinger, because he originally hailed from Indianapolis, and he was just, and as far as I know, because I must admit I'm not a history buff here, but he, went on this giant crime spree, and he was up here, and the reason that he was in Crown Point was because he had shot in January of 1934 an East Chicago policeman officer, William O'Malley, in conjunction with a robbery. And so he was put into the jail in Crown Point, which I also, something that I learned yesterday, and you'd think I'd know this from being a native Hoosier, region person, was that he was not held at the courthouse in the square because there was jails down there. That's not where he was. Hmm. He was at the sheriff's house, which is about a block up from the square. They used to have a jail in the house. And I was I was blown away by that. And one of the historians out there was saying that, oh yeah, there was like a quarter of an inch metal door between the actual house and the jail. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, a quarter inch. Huh?
That doesn't sound like much.
Exactly. So he had, he was in the jail and he apparently got his hands on a wooden gun and managed to break himself out of jail, him and Herbert Youngblood. And then they took two other submachine guns on their way out. And that's when they got into the car, which I guess they had, or Sheriff Holly had just gotten.
Oh,
so
gosh.
It was a fairly new vehicle.
All right.
So here they go off, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and we're going to get to the rest of the history. Michelle, I'm going to put you on hold really quickly. Let's do this commercial break now, because this is 87 years ago. This car leaves Northwest Indiana on a great escape, and it doesn't come back till yesterday. We'll tell the whole story after this on WGN. John Dillinger was in the jail, well, actually at the sheriff's house, as Michelle Quinn let us know, that also had a jail cell. And was this 1934 was the escape, right?
Yes.
All right. So that night, he gets his hands on a wooden gun and escapes. And we should also note this: the Lake County Sheriff's was Lillian Hatch Holly, which I don't have numbers in front of me about how many sheriffs were women in 1934, but I imagine she's probably one of the few in the country, right?
She, the, there, nobody has found proof that she wasn't the first woman sheriff in the country.
Okay.
We know for sure she was definitely the first and only woman sheriff in Lake County.
And still to this day?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a topic that's a topic for another day. But okay, so she took over because her husband had passed away. She finished his term, correct?
Yes. He was shot and killed in another incident, and she was so here. Part of the story, and this, you know, coming to it, is that, you know, Lily and Holly had never spoke of Dillinger again, because here's this woman, she's in this position, and she's grieving her husband, and now she's got this, so I guess she took a lot of flack for it.
Okay.
And because of that, she never spoke of him again.
Wow.
And you were not to talk to her, and you know, who could blame her, really?
And she lived a long time, too.
103 years.
Wow.
I was shocked when I heard that, too. I was learning stuff all over the place last night.
Isn't that the best part about being a reporter? You show up, you're like, I got some background on this, and you find all these fascinating stats. Okay, so he gets out.
Exactly, go ahead.
He gets out of the sheriff's house, jail cell, and this is her car that he steals.
Yeah, well, it was the car for the position. It
okay.
wasn't actually her real car, but it was a police car. And so he takes it up Main Street, and you know, you having visited Crown Point, you can envision this. So they're going up Main Street, and another fun fact: at 35 miles an hour. So this was, if you can imagine that being fast
right.
back then.
Uh-huh.
So they're you know, going up 35 miles an hour. They turn onto 93rd or Main and 93rd, which where our county government center sits now, and heads west. I believe they went to Piatone first.
Okay.
And or perhaps maybe I might be mixing this up. At some point, because they had a couple hostages with them. They left the hostages in Piatone, but they got to Chicago first to Ardmore Avenue, left the car and left it running so it would run out of gas. Somebody was waiting for him. They all piled into the car, went down to Piatone, left the hostages.
Okay.
In Piatone, and then, you know, ended up wherever they ended up.
So where does the car go from there? So it sits on Ardmore, it goes to, what, did you say the car went to Piatone with him, or no, it ran out of gas on Ardmore in Chicago?
He left it there. So after that, we don't know whether it was absorbed by the Chicago police, you know, they you know, take it as evidence or whatever. So it ends up, you know, fast forward, you know, several decades later, this gentleman, he buys it at a police auction in Milwaukee.
Hmm.
They have it. His son ends up inheriting it, and he goes off to Maine with the car, and, you know, he had every intention of storing it himself. So enter Mark Love, whose father owned with another gentleman the world's largest John Dillinger
collection of artifacts and stuff like that.
Collection. Thank you. And he started the search for this car because they thought that it might be out there. You know, first it starts, okay, I wonder where this is. We're really going to find this. So he hires a private detective.
I'm even amazed they thought it would still be around. Like 80-some
right.
years later, I'm like, that car is in a dump somewhere. It's been broken up, sold. I mean, what are the odds it's even still around?
Exactly. And, you know, I think that was part of the fun, is trying to find it. So sure enough, they find the VIN number in Maine, and he goes and he talks to the guy, and the guy apparently he convinced him, hey, this needs to come back to Crown Point. It is a part of our history. And so he bought it and restored it with just about everything original parts. I shouldn't say brand new, but original parts.
Mm-hmm. But working.
And it was, yeah, this car, if you could have seen it, I mean, it was shiny. It was beautiful. I mean, there was a lot of love put into it.
And so then they roll it back in this big ceremony. They film it, not roll it back. They drove it back into Crown Point, yep. returning to basically yep. from whence it came. And that's where yep. the story meets you yesterday.
Yep. And there was a big celebration and, you know, there were speeches. And then the old sheriff's house, the board, they opened up the building and you could go in and tour and, you know, see where all of this took place.
I was surprised that to read that Dillinger's nephew, just based on the number of years mm-hmm. that has passed, that his nephew is still alive. And he was there yesterday, too, right?
Yes, he and he wasn't actually that old of a gentleman.
Oh, okay.
If Dillinger, well, he was born in the 50s because he had said that Dillinger had been shot like 20 years before.
Oh, okay.
So you got to figure he's now, you know, late 60s, yeah. you know, 60s, 70s range. And he and his nephew were there. And I got to talk to them and, you know, he told me the story about how Dillinger had convinced his own mother that the new, you know, baby, if it was a girl, that he wanted her to be named Frances because he was in love with a girl named Frances.
Oh, wow. I also find it interesting that his nephew's son, I believe, mm-hmm. felt that this kind of this moment of this car coming back actually provided some kind of closure.
It did. It did. He, they, you know, whether a lot of people, they were kind of talking about this, whether a lot of people knew who they were because, you know, they were Thompson, but, you know, word gets out, okay, this is our uncle and great uncle was, you know, public enemy number one.
Right.
So whether, you know, people took to that or not took to that, but, you know, to them, he was their uncle. And for Michael, of course, had never met him, but still there was this, you know, there was an aura of mystique around it, and whether that was good or bad all the time,
yeah,
was a little bit of both.
Talking about that sheriff again, not talking about Dillinger, whether she's was mm-hmm. embarrassed or just didn't want to, you know, relive it or talk about it until the day she died. You can't help but wonder what she would have thought about this coming back only a couple decades after she passes away.
Well, several people said that she would not have been happy, she would have not found any honor in it at all. So
what is going to happen to the car now?
The car, they are working on a final place for it. I don't know whether they'll be able to put it actually in the house, but it will be someplace in the city for tours and, you know, for viewing, but they also plan on taking the car out for law enforcement events, you know, parades, and they want to take it around the country, and the proceeds from, you know, from the car that they make for the car's presence will go to a charity called Cops Concerns of Police Survivors,
mm-hmm.
and it's a not-for-profit that, you know, helps out law enforcement families, you know, who've suffered tragedy, yeah. and they work with scholarships and, you know, medical bills and that kind of stuff.
Dillinger's big in Crown Point. I mean, that's,
yeah.
I mean, that's there's a certain, maybe pride's not the right word, but hey, this is what we're notorious for, and they kind of lean into it.
Yeah, between Dillinger and the other one is Rudy Valentino.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's cool. A big event. A lot of people showed up, dignitaries and all, and seems like it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really was. And it was, again, it was just really nice to see everybody out and, you know, just kind of enjoying the weather and enjoying the
whole thing. I love the look of a 30s car. It looks so cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's sleek. It's the pictures are up at the Tribune website. You go there and read Michelle's story about everything and take a look at the pictures. They're great. I just love the look of that car.
Yeah, that was pretty nice, although I think I would like to have it go a little faster than 35 miles an hour. I still just can't picture this being a chase.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not that I can run 35 miles an hour, but I can get halfway there.
Right.
You put me on a bike and maybe, maybe a bike I'm able to.
I can run 35 miles.
Yeah. And that's why you're a reporter, Michelle, instead of a running day.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks for your time today. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, Michelle. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Take care.
Yeah, it was great to chat with you. Cool story. 87 years later, a stolen car returned to Crown Point, Indiana. You can read the report at ChicagoTribune.com. And there you can find 87 years later, the car Dillinger stole returned, an act of God that I found it. Michelle Quinn, great stuff there.